hear the story, to find out what can be done, to find out what has already been done in some other community. Who's gonna volunteer? Who's gonna hold a house meeting tomorrow night? You are. What you're trying to do, starting, you're starting out with a slow intro. It's very important to try and do this in about three different steps, because you're trying to build toward a climax each time. You see, don't let it drag. Don't just sit there, you know, and just come out with a lot of slow talk and we can do this and that and so forth, because pretty quickly they'll all be asleep on you in there and you won't be able to get any of them convinced to hold a house meeting, because you've got to really shoot some fire into them to get them to hold a house meeting. If you don't get any of them to hold a house meeting, it'll be mainly because you haven't been able to rouse them. You've got to rouse these people. Or else they won't react. Or if you do, if you haven't got them roused and somehow you keep after them and after them and after them until they agree to hold a house meeting, they aren't going to hold a house meeting. You're going to find out the next night that, they said they'd hold it, but they're not home when you get there, or else they're home but they didn't invite anybody because they're not interested. This will be a good test as to how good you are at the house meeting in rousing them. If the ones that promise to hold house meetings the next night, the next night, the next night after that, hold them, you'll know that you did a damn good job in getting them roused. If they don't hold house meetings, you'll know that you've got to go back and perfect your approach and perfect the pitch that you're making to them at those house meetings. And when you get that done, I've seen it happen time after time. I've watched people giving house meetings, and I found out what happened after they persuaded people to hold them. They didn't hold those house meetings. And so I had to get that organizer back in, and we had to go over the pitch that he made and correct it all along the way. And then he went out and did it. Well, first he had to watch somebody else do it, though. It wasn't just a matter of having his work criticized. He had to watch somebody else go through this himself, and then he did it. And from that time on, he was off and running. So it's you start out with, naturally, with a sort of a low-key introduction, just telling them why you're there, and then you get into the problems, and then they interrupt you, and then you take it from there, and you're talking power right away. You know, you haven't been able to get any of these things done because you haven't got any power. There's no power in numbers here, you see, to put the pressure on the people that can really do it. And then the next drive is the power of the vote, you know. And you've got to explain to them, give them examples of how people in the neighborhoods where the vote is high are able to get these things done, you know, whether they've got money or not. Money helps too. But there are neighborhoods that where the people don't have very much money, where the registration is high, and they're getting improvements made. Like Guadalupe. There's no money out there. And yet they got the improvements made just because they got, you know, the power of the vote behind them. So that's a sort of a short pitch. Well, you don't want to go too, like Caesar said, you want to kind of divide it up and let them, after you've gotten into the problems, give them all the rope that they want, and talking about the problem just as long as they want to. You're going to be there just as long as they'll let you anyway. You're in no sweat to hurry up and get through the meeting. And the more they talk about the problems, the more they're selling themselves on the need to get an organization. You know, they're proving to each other how valuable it is. In other words, what you're doing is building an army out there to fight the opposition. We're not building a little reconciliation group to go down and get reconciled with each other and not get anything done. We're building an army to go down and confront the opposition with power. Power on that side and power on this side. There's that big decision-making table down there in the county or the city, wherever it happens to be, where all the decisions have been made for all these years about the people that live out there. Only those people out there never had a chance to sit down at that table and fill that vacant chair. What we are pushing for and organizing for is to get enough power so that the poor people can sit down there and decide not only what's going to be done at their in their community what's going to be done in all the rich communities and the middle-income communities and all the rest of them. There isn't any representation from the poor to do that right now. And that's what's wrong in this country. One of the big things that's wrong. So, in order to, what we mean when we talk about reconciliation is this, that after an organization, the poor people have built the power and they confront the power structure. The power structure knows that the people have power, and then they get reconciled to the idea that the people have power, and they're going to have to start giving in to the people. Giving them the things that they've been entitled to all these years, but they haven't had enough power to get it. That's what reconciliation means. As far as doing something out in the poor neighborhoods. What else have we left out about? We want to make sure, of course, that we get all the names and addresses and telephone numbers if anybody out there is lucky enough to have, or you know, has enough money to be able to afford a phone, because we're going to use those later. We always want to make absolutely sure that we never go out of a house without getting all the names and addresses and telephone numbers of everybody that came there, because we're going to put them all on a mailing list and on a telephone list, so that later on when we call all those people together into a big mass meeting, you see, we'll be able to send out postcards to them, we'll be able to call them on the telephone, go and see them, and so on, in order to make sure that we get a big crowd of people there at the time we organize. This is the big organizing meeting at the end of the 5 or 6 weeks of holding house meetings every day and every night, you see. Usually, the lady that, or the family that puts on the house meeting will at this point, you know, bring out the pan dulce and so on, and coffee, and they'll have a little social. And this is a very important time, too, because you get to know the people more, and some more of their problems start coming out at this point. Because then when they're really roused, why, they won't stop, they just keep on going. Another thing that you're going to find out is that, you know, some people say that, well, you don't have to build power to get these things, that there are all kinds of things that the people can get without having to have any power. Well, the only way that this comes about is when some do-gooder comes in and hands it to them, you know, which, you know how that makes people feel. And this is what's been going on for all these years, along about Christmas time, why, you know, what happens. And then during the year, why some little ladies' aid society is going to bring out the old dirty clothing full of holes and all this, you know, to help the poor people out there. By the way, that's about the worst thing you can ever get into. For goodness sake, don't ever get into the business of accepting old clothes once you get an organization. That's the worst thing you can possibly do. Don't become a charitable agency. Let somebody else handle all the headaches that go along with that, because each piece of clothing that you give out to one person is going to make about 5 other people mad at you, because they need that clothing or that food or whatever it is worse than the person that got it. And so you're just tearing the organization apart if you ever get into any of that nonsense. Well, do you think of anything else that we should have covered at this about the house meeting?
What if you was having a meeting and some organization or some group of people bring a bunch of clothes or something to give to the people?
You say if you're having a meeting?
Yeah, just like we're having a mass meeting.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody drives some good wheels organization or something come up with you and offer to give you some clothes or something like this?
Well, ask them. Ask them who asked for those clothes. And if somebody there asked them for the clothes, well, let that person have them. But if nobody did, well, tell them to take them back where they came from. This is not that kind of a, you know, shilly-shally organization that's out for, you know, accepting alms and charity and all this. That won't happen usually when you're having a meeting, but as soon as they find out there's an organization there, why, you know, the little do-gooder societies are going to be coming around wanting to do this, just like they are out in Guadalupe.
Well, I went out to interview some people, and I went to these do-gooders, and I went and I told them that I appreciate their help, but I would like them to stay away from it as much as I possibly can. In fact, to stay away. Because they asked me, can I help you in any way? I said, no, at the moment, I'll handle it. When I need your help, I'll come running to you, but at the moment. And they did, they left me alone.
Yeah, well, it's the only way, because it causes big troubles. You know, the people have been used to this, and they think, oh, well, this is just another one of those kind of organizations that makes me feel bad. You know, they feel unhappy when they have to take these things. They need them, so they take them, but it still makes them feel bad to take them, and they hate the people that give them to them, usually. So if you're the one that gives them to them, well, they'll start hating you. And that's not what you're trying to do. You're trying to build up a little goodwill out there.
What about the group that has had 4 years a sale? I mean, so that they operate themselves.
That's a little different.
And it's actually a profit-making type of thing.
See, if the people themselves, after they're organized, decide that, and it's a broadly based organization, and everybody knows what this is for, or the majority of the people know that that's what this is for, that this clothing is being sold at, you know, a nickel or a dime or something like that, and they know what that money is going to be used for, that it's not going in anybody's pocket, and so on. Well, that's a different proposition than just coming out, you know, and putting it out on somebody's porch and draping it around, letting the housewives come and look it over and take it and all that.
What about the meeting the...
But even so, if there's a St. Vincent de Paul society there, let them have it. Then they can have the headache, because you still get into trouble with that, because there's always people that figure that, you know, you shouldn't be charging for that money somebody gave you, for that clothes somebody gave it to you, and that therefore it's for the poor people, and you're not giving it to the poor people, you're selling it to them. So it's still hard. The St. Vincent has this problem. Not as much as most organizations, because they're very well known, but they still have the problem.
I was saying, meeting the emergency when they, after you've been organized for a while, this is probably getting ahead, but since we're in this subject, you have a treasury, and something very drastic happens to one of the members. And it's known at a meeting, so there'll be all sorts of motions flying around to take money out of the treasury and give to this family. And usually you never had enough money in the treasury to do any good. Secondly, you're setting a precedent, and then they're going to come at you from their own. You know, you won't be able to give money, but maybe once or twice, and you're in real trouble too.
Because they'll say, well, they didn't give me any money when my father died, or something. You know, they've all got the same problems, and you're helping this one person, you're making enemies of everybody else.
Or take up collections.
Yeah.
This is a bad thing.
In other words, stay away from any giving away of that sort. As much as, well, stay away from it.
Maybe.
Very hard.
Go ahead.
Very hard for people to understand why we insist that there shouldn't be a collection when this family is driving through Phoenix and are on their way to California, and they're on by the highway, and it's not going to cost any harm to pick up money, $10 or $15, and get them on their way. And it's very hard for them. They get pretty sore at this. But the thing is that if you do it once, then people know that you did it there, and they'll come to you, and you'll be able to produce a second or a third time. And then this is when the problem starts. Well, how come you gave it to that person? Oh, I know, because he happens to be the father or the father-in-law of the one of your officers. And I'm not, I don't have anybody on the board, so always find something to come back with.
Would it be wise to point this out in the beginning? You know, the meetings?
We do this in our association. We say it's not a welfare group. We're not here to take on any collections for anyone. I don't know welfare how it is in Arizona. I don't think it's in California. No. So over there we do get money for them, but we go to the welfare agency in Holland, and he's an expert in that. He can tell you later on how to deal with his agency once you get into problem solving, personal problems with some of your members. How you have to produce to be able to, after you get out of the talking stage at the meetings, then there has to be some production to back up what you're saying, you know, and how to get people involved in this. The whole idea is that you need to be there always. So,
right, well, you know, maybe right at one of the house meetings, is going to, an emergency problem is going to be brought up. Something's got to be done the next day. Or, you know, sometime that week, somebody's going to get clipped off of welfare, and they don't know what to do about it, and they haven't got, you know, so on. And where an emergency like that comes up, and they can't wait until the organization has its organizing meeting so that the organization itself can go into action on it. From time to time, the organizer himself is going to have to go with that family, maybe another person from the group, down to the welfare officer, down to the agency, or whoever it is that's causing the problem, and help win that little case. You try to keep that to an absolute minimum, because if you don't, it slows down your organizing. You see, you can't be holding house meetings and take people down to welfare, social security, workers' compensation, all that. But if an emergency comes up, you have to do it, you see? Because otherwise, like Caesar said, you got to prove that you mean business on this. And this is a good way, because if you win the case down there, that woman's going to tell other people, oh, gee, this is a good organization. You know what happened yesterday? Blah, 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 blah. And that woman will probably hold several house meetings because of what you did to help her get her problem
and
solved.
And she doesn't. You make her hold a house meeting. But they say, well, how can I pay you? And then she says, well, I give you money. I don't, we don't accept money. Please say, I lose my job if I do that. But I'll tell you how you can help me. You really want to help? All right. You can help me help the movement get going, and then put her down. This is not a maybe, you're asking her. And then sometimes they refuse, all right, I helped you, now you help me so we can help everybody else over there. And put the pressure. Put the pressure. If you don't, the word gets around that you're easy, you know.
Easy touch.
Oh, since we're in this, you know, and this has been by, I know I have and I know he has, and another organizer in California, Fred Train, Mrs. Huerta. We've gone through this. Not anymore. The personal loan.
Yeah.
It'll come. And you're working with it. How can you say no? It's only a dollar, you know. Oh, boy. So it's an awful headache. You'll never.
How do you avoid that? No.
No.
Just say no.
Period. No. Period. Well, I'm sorry, I can't. You know, It isn't that you're going to give a guy 50 cents or a dollar. Well, if it stopped there, it'd be all right, you know. It doesn't stop there. It keeps on going, and then pretty soon you're in the same, you're playing favorites because you're on, I know you run out of money. And so you can't give the third or the fourth person that came to you. But most important that they, I think it's the same weakness. You're trying to bribe them, you know.
Yeah. You become a traveling welfare agency.
In the house meetings, the coordinators, they are the ones to take over this, you know, to deal with it. Other words, when you have the house meeting, the coordinators is the main speaker, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what about when you come down to forming this community setup?
Yeah.
Do the coordinator...
We're going to get to that. We'll come to that.
Oh,
Coordinator still has to do a lot there, but we'll come to that. Yeah. Why do you call yourself, what are you coordinating?
That's the title that we've been doing. That's what the proposal is called.
Is this in the proposal?
We call them developers.
Pardon?
We call them developers, but the proposal called them coordinators.
The government proposal put them down as coordinators. I guess they didn't like the name organizers. First we started out calling them community aides, and then we didn't like that sound. What do you call them?
Organizers.
I guess a bad note or something for somebody.
We'll go from organizers, then we went to developer, then to coordinator.
Many people don't know what that coordinators mean.
To us, I think coordination means getting the community together.
What it usually means, though, is getting the agencies together, or coordinating the various agencies together.
Coordinator.
Not
under coordination.
Are you a coordinator too now?
Well, if you remember why that came about,
That proposal. Yeah, that's right.
Status quo.
But the house meeting is the basic unit. Now, perhaps as the gentleman's work with the Indians brought up, we might not be able to use it. But ordinarily, in almost any community, we found that it is the best approach.
Well, I've certainly tried, Mr. Ross, but I mean, previous experience.
Yeah.
And I'm going to need people's advice on alternatives.
Right.
However, it's not all being Indian people. Mm-hmm. There's some very few Negroes.
Yeah. Pardon me?
Very few Negroes who would come under a poverty scheme in that particular area. A good many Mexicans. Mm-hmm. They're developing a migrant interstate thing in this cucumber business that is pretty appalling. So I'm totally familiar with it. I'm pretty sorry. That's some ramifications there, and I'm sure going to try it. But if I don't have results, then I'm going to have an alternative.
That's right. Anybody want to bring up any questions about what needs to be brought up at the house meeting?
Well, for instance, myself personally, I am one of the things that interests me the most. I mean, you mentioned before, was the fact that they're going to bring up this question of right away. They say I want more money, and I am not in a position because I'm not organizing for that purpose. I'm not in a position to say, well, that I can help them. How am I going to beat around the bush to get away from this? This is where I should find out how I'll do this.
Well, I think that you can certainly go part way on this, in that they know very well, or most of them know, that as one person alone, they're not going to be able to get any improvements where they live or any improvements in their life, including better wages or a better job, if they're trying to do it alone. So that regardless of what it is, what problem it is that the people have, organization is the first big step toward doing something about it. And that later on, after they are, I forgot one thing to bring up in connection with what we tell them at the this is the final pitch. This is the leading up to the last climax in the house meeting. After you've gotten all through with voter registration, then you say, and we're not only organizing here. You see, you folks are not going to be alone in this. We're organizing all over the state of Arizona, in all the low-income areas of Arizona. We're going to have at least 10 or 12 different organizations among people all over this state. And they're going to be getting together and building their power of numbers, and they're going to be registering all the voters. And someday, probably at the end of this year, we'll all come together in one big organization. You and each of these other 10 organizations will send delegations to this big overall organization, and then we'll really have the power, because all of us will be working together. We'll be putting all of our power of numbers together. We'll be putting all of our power of votes together. We'll be able to influence probably as many as 3 out of the 5 assemblymen. We'll be able to to put pressure on the congressmen and maybe two congressmen, the United States senators, and so forth, when we're all together like this. So this is the big goal that we're working for. So that they'll understand, well, this isn't just a little organization sitting out here in no man's land out there. This is going to be part of a big movement that's going to sweep through this state. And this helps a lot when they know they're not going to be out there all alone. Yeah, it's true. And that's, I think it's true anyway. This is what you're working toward.
What's an assemblyman, Fred?
Well, I forgot. The representative, the state representative. There'll probably be several of those that, and they've got a lot of those here, haven't they? About 40 or 50 of them.
Right. 53 or so.
Yeah. And in some areas where maybe you only have one, maybe one supervisor, you might have one or two representatives that you can put that the organization can put pressure on.
I want to ask one thing here. I want to see if you have come across this problem, and also Mr. Garcia here, that have you ever come around the problem of paying taxes? Some people that I know around there, or somebody has gone around the community saying that if anything is done to better the community, that the taxes will go way up, that it won't properly. And some of these people are really afraid. They say that, for example, like if the streets are paved, that they will have to pay so much more money. If they have other services, that they will still have to pay more.
If they have other what?
Let's say more services in the community. Pay streets, lights, and things like that. You know, that they, that every time they do something to the community, that those taxes will just keep going up and up and up. And before you know it, they just won't have the money and lose their property. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the real deal on this?
Well, probably Lyle can mention something about what happened out there in Guadalupe on the tax situation, on the when the streets were put in and so forth, you know.
In reference to the repercussions that
it, no, on the raising of the taxes, the rate, you know, when they
the taxes really didn't go up that high, because actually the way it was is that I don't know if you mentioned this, not there. The supervisor put in free of charge, first of all, to the people. Put in first of all, free of charge to the people. And the taxes have not increased that much, really. And this is although that there were many people that were worried about the taxes being increased, when they did come out at the end of the year, they have seen that the actual variance of the tax for a preceding year was hardly anything.
So they happen to ask me or something like saying, well, how much will they go up, or give me an example or something like that. Now, what can I say? What percentage or what amount or what sort of support would be a good answer for them?
Well, you can find out exactly, you know. That's right. But you can say that it's just practically nothing. Very, very little. Especially if they get it free, you know. Gosh, ordinarily any community would have to, the property owners would have to pay for those paved streets, you know. Maybe they'd have to pay as much as $200 to have the street paved in front of their house.
They have to form an improvement district.
That's right.
And then they have to finance their section of the road. Right. Then they have to be paying back to the finance company so much.
And in addition to the little raise in taxes.
Yeah, actually, it's negligible. The raise in taxes is negligible.
I have that experience, so I'm going to bring it up. I mean, I feel that that there's more involved than just a little raise in taxes, because they charge you for the frontage, and it's quite a bit. For 60 foot, it's $395, because I have a bill at home. But this is through an improvement, like you said.
Oh, yeah. This is not taxes. You're not paying.
This isn't taxes. This is a different. There's taxes, and then there's improvement. You pay so much
assessment
to this company for putting this. But the whole, all the people in the community have to agree that they want these streets and sidewalks. If the people don't agree, the majority of the people don't agree, they can't do it.
That's when they set up an improvement district, you see. But you see, in Guadalupe, they didn't set up any improvement district. They just put the pressure on Riggs, and he went out and got the money, and they paved the streets. They didn't ask any of the people. They just asked, the organization asked him. But he didn't check with any of the people. The road department didn't check. They just put them in. And the people didn't have to pay anything to put those. Ordinarily, as he said, they'd have to pay, $200 or $300 to put those streets in, form an improvement district, but not in Guadalupe. Then that's what you want to try for. First, naturally, so you don't have to pay anything to get them.
This is depending on the way you go about getting it.
And remember, Guadalupe is not an incorporated town.
No.
It's part of the county.
Sure.
El Mirage is incorporated. So there you're going to have maybe a different situation, so you must take that into account.
Yeah. You want to work in El Mirage?
Yes. So it means that maybe those people down there, in order to have paid streets, will have to pay about $200 to $300.
Well, it depends so much per foot. So.
Per
property.
But there is a possibility of them having to pay.
Yeah, there is inside of an incorporated area. Are there any other incorporated areas where you'll be working?
Well, Avondale is a good area. Cashin got theirs paved, and I don't know how yet. I've been trying to find out. But every street in Cashin is paved, and last year, last December they paved them. But they paved one big section where the track was, and all the rest was dust. Then they paved the little section, and then they paved the rest of it. There's just two streets in Cashin that aren't paved now. But I think, I'm pretty sure they formed an improvement district, and then they were assessed for this.
Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, one of them, I don't think it cost them $300-some.
They give them about 10 years to pay it off.
10 years, and $40 a year.
Now, see here, Cashin is part of the county. If they had known what Guadalupe knows at that time, they wouldn't have to pay, but they have a foreign improvement district, and they're part of the county.
Did Guadalupe pay them?
We actually took advantage of this. Remember, Fred, we used to tell people, how much do you think this is worth,
Yeah.
And then I said, well, it's worth, your general said, well, yeah, it's worth about $500. Darn right it's worth $500.
I'd like to break in just a minute. Now, in the period of the past week, you have heard many talks and lectures and discussions, and you will hear some more next week. And you'll remember that at the beginning we said nobody was going to, crack the whip and say this is the way you had to do it. And yet that is not exactly true. Let's put it this way. That Fred and Caesar are here because they have tried a system. I mean, they don't talk from the ivory tower of a university, nor do they sit behind a table like I do and tell people what to do. These boys have been in there, you see. They've been doing it for all these years. And this has worked. So what I'm saying is that this is not a thing that you take or leave. This is a thing that I am, I hate to use the word, but I don't know what else to do. This is a method that I'm sincerely hoping, as a matter of fact, I'm insisting that you try. At this point, maybe it looks like something else might be better. But I'm saying give this a try. And then, or if right at this point you're saying, I can't do this, well, then I don't know what we can do.
Out.
We'll,
al paredón.
Because I can't be too strong on this, that this is the system that we're going to try. And I know there may be other ways of doing things, but this is the way it's going to be done, because we feel that this is a program that has been tried, and it has accomplished the things that we wanted to accomplish. And if I mean, there are always certain ways of doing things that they turn out the best. I mean, you, and it seems to me that you can't leave out any one thing. You do the steps as has been stated. You know, any of you who have sold anything, you remember that manager or whoever it was said, these are the steps that you take. This is what you say when you come to the door. This is how you open up your suitcase. This is the thing. You follow those steps, and it'll come out right. And but most of the time, most of us have said, oh, heck, we'll try this bit, and then we'll try this, and leave out some of these things. But in this program, we don't leave out things. We follow it step by step, and as they are outlining, and whatever other things that we have discussed and other people that have come to us, we take what they gave, and I know that many of their ideas have been good, and we're not discarding anything, but this is the procedure that we are going to follow. So I hope we'll keep this in mind as we tomorrow. I'm sorry that we have to take a Saturday, but that was the way it is.
And what are you talking about? I've been telling you we work every day, Saturday and
Sunday.
Oh,
I see. all right. So that's all I wanted to say, because I won't be here tomorrow to tell you this, but I can't too strongly impress upon you the fact that this is a process which has been proven to be successful, and we'd better follow it through, or I think we're going to have real problems.
Could I ask Mr. Ross if we can take a whole day and start at the beginning, and it's going to be repetition of this again, but give us another house meeting, or you can do it by yourself.
Oh, let's need to do it this time.
Okay. I think you had all everything in the tape.
Yeah, it's in the tape.
Yeah, because I believe in canned pictures. I've been a salesman before, and I believe in canned pictures. And you can listen to them on the tape recorder, then you can have a simulator, like you're giving a house meeting, and to the other developers or organizers or coordinators, and you can get it back in your mind and follow this canned pitch more or less. Of course, you can't follow 100% because sometimes it's deviated a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think that's better, because you have something to fall back to. If it deviates a little bit and it starts running away, at least you can come back to this canned pitch.
Especially in the beginning.
Yes. I mean, this is to reinforce each organizer's ability. I mean, he has a little bit more confidence in himself because he knows he has a pat thing that he can go by. He runs into trouble.
Sure. Wouldn't this be a good idea if, let's say, some of us ourselves to take hold, let's say, hold a house meeting here and have this gentleman here correct us on certain points of that we just might call up, and that way we'd be having a house meeting here.
I don't think we have that much time.
Well, it could be done tomorrow.
Well, yes, by now. I mean, some other day, but go through a small house meeting and let one of us hear them, say maybe one or two of us.
Well, Lalo's still right here, and he knows the method. Maybe after we start in this day, he can come in here, and after we get it pat in our mind with the paper, he can come in directly, or more or less.
Lauro will be here Thursday and Friday.
Not here in Guadalupe.
Guadalupe. Wow. You can hold a house meeting out in Guadalupe.
That's right. I was thinking that. Yeah. Having a whole
Find them, or go over to Hightown or some other place.
No, yeah. don't go over there.
I'll get around the dirt over there,
baby. You guys are allowed to put up a film for you, before I can.
We can take Cashin. Now there's a hardcore town.
We can take Paradise Valley.
Where is Cashin?
Cashin is.
Let me point out to you.
It's right.
South.
It's right here. This is Highway 80. This is Phoenix. We're approximately right here. So we go up to Buckeye and all the way down to Cashin.
Oh, I see.
How far up?
It's about 12 miles from here. But that's a real small town. They don't know nothing what was happening.
And that's where you're going to work?
Yes. I haven't done anything out there yet. I heard from everybody, so I could really have the method in my mind. So the only person I talked about there is a priest, kind of a priest.
This approach that Fred has been describing to you, and we've been adding to it, won't fail if you follow it. It's been done over and over and over. And also you'll be adding on to some of the things that we will be coming back and borrow. A lot of stuff that we say, it wasn't really developed by us, but it was developed by people that he developed me and then went develop others, and then we keep going back and borrowing, and you keep perfecting the thing.
You think we are developers, Caesar?
We are, at least few days. But it's how many things has changed? You remember in the early, and we're always perfecting it. Yeah. If it works, we don't care where it comes from, and we don't know everything, and we'll take it. If it works, we'll take it because it'll make the work easier and it'll get done. But a lot of things have been.
First, you just went around and talked to people, just door to door, you know, one at a time. And then we decided, well, that's pretty slow. Maybe we better, you know, try to get a few people together. So we assigned five people. Each one of them held a house meeting, you see. And but we didn't ask at each house for other people that came to hold house meetings, which would have been a very simple thing to do. Well, that came a little bit later. You know, it's just a kind of a slow thing.
It keeps developing, and we keep
You can see it in the Stapley products. I mean, when they sell it, well, you almost feel like you're obligated. I think that woman, boy, she invited me. I'll feel bad if I don't invite somebody, and it becomes sort of a notorious rat race. Yeah. I have seen it happen in a small community where they don't have a lot of social activity, and this is the social.
All the risk. Yeah.
It's good, but the Stanley party is like
Stanley. No,
Stanley,
you're right.
Well, I know, I used to work for them. But the Stanley party, you give something away, and you give them points. Yeah. So after so many points, after so many house meetings, after so many sales, they get a free gift. So no wonder they're spurring on. But here you have to motivate them, and that's going to be their.
Yeah, well, this is good, though. You're giving them flowers, I think.
I had gone on the assumption that it would be a house-to-house meeting. This would, house meetings, of course, are much more practical than it. But I anticipate having one here. Thought on as many as 20, probably mine pretty well, 8 or so, and you had a new person of a meeting. So after you sleep over this thing, I may have maybe on probably everything, but if I could get as many. Make 3 door-to-door calls to have one house meeting. Mm-hmm. Because maybe on a 4.
Not to laugh, the guy who does it, who's the best talker, come into the meeting and take it away from you and carry it, you know, he calls me.
Ben, do you want to come up tomorrow? It's pretty near 5 o'clock.
Well, when they finally finish, where we're going to meet at tomorrow, we got a more comfortable room, I think, over at Phoenix College.
Oh, but where's Phoenix College?
Thomas. On the 11th Avenue. We'll give you the address.
We don't have want to make it too comfortable, you know, everybody go to sleep.
Not with this. Not with this one.
This is the round table.
No, this is too good. This is too, it's almost like good, a good T-bone steak for me.
Yeah.
Good. There you have. Elijah speaks. Peace. Were there any other questions that you thought of while we're talking about the?
Well, supposing you start having, telling people to have the group have house meetings, and then the people themselves don't get along together. Maybe family doesn't get along with that other family. They don't meet.
This is what you have to watch out.
You said they don't what?
They don't get along together.
Yeah.
And I mean,
hey, will you bring me some too, please?
Bring me sugar,
please.
And well, they just—I mean, they see each other. They just want to wrap it out, have it out.
Well,
there's a Trinidad camp out there, and most of the families out there, they don't get along together. They don't like each other. In other words, because of the kids or problems they have with the kids. They cause a lot of trouble, and they don't get along.
I know, but they all have other problems besides the problems of their kids. And even though we're up against the same thing every day, and I don't know whether you've ever lived in public housing, but you know, in public housing, there's nothing but problems with the kids, you know. And yet, and those a lot of the mothers are mad at each other because they've had fights and so on. But when they can see a possibility of moving forward in some way and getting some of their other problems solved, they're willing to forget about that quite a bit. They really are.
I think at the moment the reason they're fighting is because they don't have nothing to fight about. But when they have an objective that they gotta reach, I mean, you present it in front of them, they unite behind it, and they say, well, here's something that's sort of better. And then they forget about this little problem about kids and all that. Because this is some more worthwhile than fighting about kids and better housing.
But one Wednesday night or Thursday night, they were even going to shoot it out.
Really?
Out in Arizona.
Yeah. Well, where'd you get this Mexican blood all around?
That area's been a real problem, isn't it?
No.
No. I know people, after you've been there for a while, they say, you know what? Gee, you see so-and-so in the kitchen, when we have the first barbecue or whatever, they weren't together. They hadn't been talking for years.
Yeah.
Well, Lauro brought out a good
example. Well, let us say, we gotta get something in here. Well, I don't, either new princess. I don't. Well, how should I say? me and I'm wanting to propose Mr. Gonzalez to be a president. I don't like what he says, but I think he's a good man, you know. Yeah. And they start doing this thing. Yeah. Especially Mr. Gonzalez has been out there, you know, hitting it hard every day. Because I don't like him. Everybody should know this. We had a fight 10 years ago. But it varies.
The feuds.
Yeah. Not the feuds.
Mr. Ross, thank you folks said all this from the ground level. I had a different experience from the social agencies and welfare. I'm just by the time the papers were filled out, one time for my own satisfaction, I filled them out, you know, pertaining to relationship. I thought, I'll fix you. But, you know, really married three wives, and at one time, it took about four pages till I fixed them up. I mean, I sent it in, and they got a big kick out of it. They didn't get mad about it or anything, but they wanted a complete breakdown. Well, a family brought it in, and they brought the delegate up. A real fine level fellow named Carl Kimmichi, and I said, let's really put it all down. Bob, this woman was first married to this man, but she left him with his brother, and then after that he had three other, married one sister, but see, they married all three. When they married one, we fixed it up good. Well, they used to throw up their hands. And I mean,
I'm wrong in telling, but I think we're for a down-to-earth approach. The things that used to tear your hair out about, I mean, a mobile unit would come through, you get a long letter, now your area, this actually happened in the case, 80% of burglar incidents. Don't alarm these people. But if convenient, could you, that was always a trade, and I had a station. Bring them to a city hospital. You arrange it just before you get ready to bring them. I got a letter, we don't have any x-ray film, don't bring them. That's been 14, 15 years ago. As far as I know, they still have the tuberculosis. I mean, that has been my experience, which puts a little ingrained resentment. I'm always going to build up something real big, and then it didn't happen. Usually, now getting a check, do gooder or a missionary, that's the easy out. If I had enough money to alleviate all poverty and such, I mean, we'll give it.
No, I was suggesting to Harold today that you ought to fire all you guys and take the money and divide it between all the people in the neighborhood.
How much would each person get?
Oh, about $1.5 million, probably several hundred dollars.
No, $50
million. Oh, you figured it already.
Strange as it might seem, that's a lot of people's concept of the poverty program.
Now,
I've had telephone calls from where they call and say, now, when you're giving out this money to the migrants, be sure so-and-so gets his.
Yeah.
This is true.
I know it. This is what they're going to be confronted with. When first, they bring us a foreign personal loan. Yeah. That's a part of it.
You've been hit, too?
Yeah. Oh, well, I will be. I was in my business and I'm trading business. That's all the loan.
No.
Well, I get that every day.
You couldn't go to town. I throw up my hands. You walk in the bank, two or three people will get you up, you know, $1, $2.
Well, another thing, you see, by when you're building this sort of a network around to the state, you're going to be working toward changing some state laws as regards welfare. For instance, the Caesars organization and this other Mexican-American organization, CSO, over in California, were able to bring about the best social welfare law that's ever been in existence in California, just by the power of their votes. Of course, over there, they registered over 500,000 Mexican-Americans to vote.
In the whole country.
Pardon me.
Oh.
In the whole
I thought
coming world.
Was all Mexican.
California had a real nice law. Well, we went out there, we found out about it. And you know that in welfare, well, seasonal, this, that they have this aid to fathers with dependent children, AFDC, I think they call it.
Yeah.
And the fathers will work in unification while they're getting this. So that they're not the stay-at-home type, you know, and just have it easy. They still have to work for it and they do something constructive. And that's what they should have here. I mean,
that's right.
Something that's really good, not just this handout
well,
to some people.
It's knowledge power.
That's part of it.
Because even, as you say, a lot of communities that have a heavy vote aren't particularly poor people. Second and third generation of certain peoples all vote. Registered vote, not so much in this country as in right in Arizona, if they had knowledge of some of the practices outside one, it's so unfair that had the people the knowledge of it, it would be rescinded. It's a welfare practice. They were able to get through this proposition. See, they work on a permit system. Your permits are counted on the basis we'll take 10, it's really 7, but it comes out easier to count. Each sheep would be 10 units. If you had a permit for 150 ewes, mother sheep, that fellow, he doesn't have to have any sheep on there, but when he becomes old, he's either eating them up or giving them away to the kids, but according to your welfare system, each unit is worth $10. Therefore, he's excluded. Never grow any old age.
No.
Oh, sure, that's almost unfair. Don't give me this police thing either, because in one city, of course, Gallup is despicable, as their own citizens say, just a disgrace to the United States, but all of it's about as bad, so I never check in myself. In 11 years, Navajo arrests have gone up over 100-fold. Not 10.
Navajo what?
Arrests for drunkenness.
Oh.
In fact, who puts the uniforms on the policemen?
Yeah.
I mean, over a big weekend, 70 Indian arrests.
which is probably 1/50 of the population. Four Mexican arrests, two whites maybe. If they could get him home or he could get to his car, he wasn't arrested. But these guys don't have any car. They're not walking on the streets. They're gone to only $10 in cost. That's what pays for the police force of all the border towns. And it isn't the poor people who recognize this and want to do something about it, as bad as some right-thinking, conscientious people, not real wealthy, but they talk about it. What are we going to do about it?
They can see so well, all the church people too can see that it isn't doing any good, you know.
Oh, no,
it's just doing a bit of good. It's not curing the problem at all.
No, now, when he spoke this morning about going to your service club, you know, I think you better check your community, because you might find a real wealthy man who's been so busy making money. He's had these instincts, this compassion, and things like that, but he'd like to do something about it. Who might go along with you, not be a big leader or anything, but get a little of his background. If you know him, you know what kind of a person he is. I don't believe that this young junior chamber of commerce, that those fellows, this is clearly Mike. They'd like to have him come to town and spend their money with them.
Yeah.
And then go home.
Yeah. Well, last year, give an example of. We were trying to help one of the families out there in Guadalupe get an appliance for their boy. He was called crippled up with polio, you know. And gosh, the guy was spending half his salary buying appliances for him, and he couldn't afford it. And he couldn't lift him anymore. He was heavier than his father was, and he had to, you know, get him out of the bathtub and so on. And so we tried. Through the what's the name of the rehabilitation, and they said, try the service clubs. So we tried a couple of service clubs, and they, you know, no, they couldn't do that. They were giving their money to the youth leagues or something like this. And so then we went back and forced the issue, and made the agency come through with it. But those service clubs, in my experience, have just not come through. Maybe, as you say, once in a while you find somebody.
Well, we had a talk, Mr. Ross, a very interesting doctor psychology. He told
us. Oh, Arizona State College.
Arizona State College, that we would encounter that.
Yeah.
Your mind is, when you call, we're talking about it, use yourself the available tools. Of course, when you call, they're going to say, why don't you call somebody else? Yeah. Or why didn't you call him? Or who'll call you back?
Yeah, well, they actually took it up, you know, but it took them so long, you know, that they kept forgetting to bring it up at their meeting. Then when they did finally bring it up, why, the vote was no.
There's some things, I had an Indian boy badly burned. I never knew this before, but they fixed him up pretty well, except he had these unsightly scars, and the Shriners will help me on that. So I took him in the flag. They have a record dinner before they all get plastered. They have a hospital up in Denver. They took care of the whole deal. I mean, they have certain projects.
Yeah.
They don't ask a penny in return. Just the release from the parents. That's all they have to have. He went back to school because his face was drawn down. He was ashamed of it. So.
Margie has been very quiet all day, and I know she's just bursting.
No, I'm listening. I'm ready.
Come on, now. You must have something.
What?
I don't know. You've always got good ideas to bring up.
I'm listening.
I guess we didn't get her mad enough today.
No, you know, one thing I always admired about the house meetings and the way they were handled was the fact that Fred went back, and if somebody didn't catch on, or the patience that he always had with people, that was very obvious. And He talked to him in the own level, and if anybody came late, he always referred to what he had been talking to and got him in right away in that house meeting. I think those are...
That's a good point, because, you know, people keep wandering into house meetings, you know. They don't all come at the same time. Well, you wait until you think everybody's there. You start, and you might be about a third or half of the way through. Somebody, two or three more, come in, you know. So you do have to sort of go back and fill them in, or else, you know, they don't know what the hell you're talking about.
and you've lost them. So you do that, you know, very quickly, or otherwise the rest of the people get bored. That's a good point. And business about patience is certainly true. You're going to get kind of irritated, and not only, maybe not irritated so much, but you just have to take quite a bit when you're out there. But there's one thing that, in my opinion, you should never take. If somebody insults you, let them have it. They respect you for it. So if somebody takes a crack at you, crack right back at them. Don't be afraid because you're liable to hurt somebody's feelings or something. I mean, if somebody gives it to you, give it right back to them.
Remember that day, Fred, you were there, and that guy from the water company came in, the one that always carried the pistol and scared everybody out of the dump and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Always intimidating people. And Fred was there, and his wife was there, and he came in there trying to know it all, you know? Well, in about 3 or 4 sentences, Fred calmed him down and put him in his place. And, you know, he's this type of guy that thought he owned everything around Guadalupe, and he carried a pistol, and if people went out to the dump, you know, he'd pull in a citizen arrest on them or intimidate them, you know?
Yeah.
And he came in there and was talking about voting laws, and the reason why he didn't do anything, you know, and he had always been against the organization and against improving the place. And then about 2 or 3 sentences, Fred cooled him off.
He
cooled a guy off at a meeting, too, a public meeting. He turned a frog into a polywog in about 2 seconds. That's right. And the people respected Fred right away, you know, because he stood up to the guy.
But you can be too patient, you know. And I did for a lot of years. I was just too... I just took it and took it and took it, you know. And they don't respect you. They lose respect for you when you're that way. If they slap you and, you know, give you a dirty dig, and you just, you know, just take it, they lose respect. And anybody else knows about it loses respect for you, too. Because when you act, when you just take it, then they know you're a phony. You know, you're not reacting the way you should. You're, you know, you've got to be a human being when you're out there.
Oh, Ben, what time do we meet and where do we meet?
I've got it all written down on the paper here. I'll hand it up with this 11th Garcia when I had this.
I'm not there
yet. The old man they had it before he couldn't collect any rent, so the colonel came down. He said, "We have a revolver."
To run the whole thing through, we're going to use this tape again tomorrow. I mean, we're not going to use this tomorrow. We're not going to record anything on the piece there, right?